the same, Lord. Sickness vanishes. We sang, Lord, and we declared this morning that we build our lives upon you, Jesus. Father, we sang that you are lifted high in our world, in our love, in our life. And Father, finally, we ended with, lead me, Lord. Lead us out into this world. Lead us out into this world with your love lifted high, Lord. Let us walk into rooms with you, Jesus, and change people, Lord. Let there be healings, Jesus. Let there be love. Father, we thank you for this wonderful worship that we've been a part of this morning, Lord, and we pray that it's just pleasing to your ears, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for Nick's message this morning. We pray that you would speak through him. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Proud again. Welcome online friends. Oh, the pastor is offering communion to the team, the serving ones. Alright, hopefully you brought your Bible. Because all I have is scripture. It was an interesting week of trying to prepare for this today. Sergio, will you turn on that 3-hour instrumental track? The good one. It was an interesting week. I'll just tell you about Nick for a second. We started working 6 days, so we're 60 plus hours now. And obviously, most of you know, last weekend we had Kai's birthday, and so last week was kind of crazy, and then this week's been full and kind of crazy, and there's been lack of sleep, and I wasn't feeling anything from the Lord for today. Like, I was like, where are we going? What do you want to talk about? I don't know what's going on. And I did my normal routine like I normally do of trying to sit and discern and understand where we're going to go, and wasn't getting anything, and stayed up late last night and still didn't have anything, fell asleep at the computer trying to do it, and now I've got a seriously kinked neck because it turns out that a desk chair that's probably $30 isn't that great for sleeping in. Who would have thought? And then the Lord woke me up just before 5. I told Michelle, I've been captivated with Acts, with Paul and Silas. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at Paul and Silas in prison and kind of what went on in their life. Declaring the word of the Lord, right? It's like normal. But if you go back in there, she is possessed by a spirit of divination. So she's not glorifying these guys with like, they're bringing the word of the Lord. It's like, these idiots are bringing the word of the Lord. Like, oh, he's the one that's going to save us. He's the one that's going to heal us. Like, I think that's probably more of the line she was on. She was mocking them and following them for days. And so the thing that captivated me is the second half of verse 18 there. It says, but Paul, greatly annoyed, so went on for a few days. Why didn't he cast it out in the first place? Michelle and I were talking about that. Why would you go on for that with days? Like, she's just following and mocking. I guess the Lord's time doesn't necessarily make sense to us. So it says, he is greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So now she's set free and she's been converted. She's now a believer. But then what does that verse 19 start with? But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone. So Paul and Silas and the crazy Jesus freaks just cost these guys their money-making, fortune-telling, palm-reading, tarot card-throwing, smoke-bearing. It was their moneymaker. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. Are we in that again? Everybody wants to know what's going on, where we're at. What is the purpose of my life? Where am I supposed to be? So they're like, nope, this is not okay. You just ruined our business. You just moved right in, took our moneymaker. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So they weren't happy. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. So now these guys are trying to say, hey, these few guys, they're bad. They're going to destroy a whole city. They're going to take all your money. They're going to come in just like they did to our business. They're going to steal your business, and then your family's going to be hungry. They went before the people of the town to tell them, hey, these are bad, the bad people. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So now the whole town's raging up against them. They don't like them at all. They're breaking in and taking their money. And so they're like, lock them up. Throw them away. And the jailer's like, oh, all right, these guys must be bad. They're getting the inner jail, so there's no access. There's no easy way out. And I'm going to put their feet in blocks. So like, from my pictures I found, they're like sitting on a floor with their feet like through a 4x4 or an 8x8, like, they're just there. I was wondering, too, do you think they're in the same jail cell? Were they together? You think so, Phil? I don't know. My, like, mind of nowadays would be like, well, you're not going to put two devilish people in the same room because they'll connive together and do whatever, but I don't know. I also tried finding the jail because I wondered what it looked like. Well, there's not much left of it. But the crazy thing is, what I did find, random side trail, the jail cell that they suspect Paul and Silas were in got turned into a church later on. Don't you think that's because what is going to happen? These people attested to the fact that there was a presence that hit that jail cell that they wanted to tap into. Yeah, and they remembered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So then Paul and Silas are having a good life. they're preaching the word of the Lord. They're seeing people saved. Lydia is set free and delivered, and now she's a Jesus freak also. And then all of a sudden, blam, they're beaten and bloody and bruised and locked up in this dark inner prison. How fast does it change? So then verse 25. But at midnight, what happens at midnight? Utter darkness. It could be the time when you don't have anything left. Maybe you're in a midnight currently, right? You're in a season of life that just seems chaotic, that doesn't seem like anything's going right, that doesn't seem like the Lord is even close to you. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of God. Somebody say that next line. And the prisoners were listening to them. So were they singing and praying under their breath? Oh, Lord, I just ask that you would help us, that you would set us free. These boys were like, this is not happening like this. We're going to sing and worship. And so now all the other prisoners are in the jail, and they're like, what the heck are these guys doing? Like, it's midnight. I want to be sleeping, and they're singing and praying too loud. Verse 26 then starts with, suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Because of their prayer and worship while they were bloody, beaten, and locked up. How easy is it to worship when we're at our very end? Sometimes it can be easy because we got no other hope. I've found that there's, I've told you the story of the, when I scuffed that gas main. I thought I was done. Like, I mean, looking back at it, it's like, oh, you know, it's just another day. But in that moment, I was like, have you seen The Incredibles? When, what is it? The kid that can run really fast? Dash. When Dash is like, we're dead. We're dead. That's like what was going through my head in the moment of the gas main. And all I could do was pray. Because I knew I had no hope by myself. I couldn't redeem myself in that moment. And again, now looking back on it, it doesn't seem so extreme. But when we're in the moment, things are extreme. And obviously Satan does not help with that. Because he's going to bring all these thoughts that are so terrible. They just kick you while you're down. I mean, it's nuts to... Oh, he's a stinker. So it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. So Paul and Silas were going through this chaos, but their foundation was in the Lord. And I actually heard a pastor while I was studying this. Did any of you have those inflatable, he described it as a clown, which I could picture perfectly. Yes! Bozo the clown thing that you could punch that was weighted in the bottom. And so you could punch it and it'd fall over and come back up. Every time. It didn't matter how hard you whacked that thing or kicked it or nothing. Wah, 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 oh, thing go flying across the room. It'd stand back up. Because the foundation that was inside of it that you couldn't see held it steady. No matter what was beating it down, no matter what was hitting it, no matter what was bruising it, it stood right back up. And I was like, that is such a good term to use because we get beaten up by the world. We get beaten up by the demons. What did I speak about the last time? The table that we sit at. Sometimes we let those demons come in, and if they're in long enough, the foundation's going to start getting broken. Because have any of you demoed anything? Concrete can only stand up so long. There's a point that it will break with enough abuse. So if you're not continually patching the foundation, adding to the foundation. And isn't it crazy, too, that the prison had foundations that were set down into the earth? Who created the earth? God. So an earthly thing is anchored into a thing that God created. So if a foundation is going to shift, God shifted the soil to make the foundation weak because God controls the soil. So verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. So we're called to that, to be a Christian that sets other people free around us because our prayer and worship is loud enough in our daily life that other people are like, I don't know what the heck you got, but I feel different because of what you got. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself at midnight. He thought it was over. I did the one thing that the master told me not to do. Don't let these guys get away. Lock them up, fasten them, and you secure them, or it's your life. So he's like, oh, no. The doors are all open. What happened? Like, I fell asleep. What if he fell asleep for 30 seconds, right? Anybody nod off in a moment that you're supposed to be awake? Julie and I were just talking about it this morning. Like, you can nod off in the middle of an intense thing, like driving, working, whatever it is, and in a moment, things can change. And this is where this guy's at. He's like sitting there like watching like, oh man, really need a coffee. I closed my eyes for 30 seconds. He's gonna kill me. He's like, I'll just do it. I'll do it. It's just so bad. I'll just save myself from getting in trouble and I'll just end it. At midnight. Verse 28. But Paul called with a loud voice. So the jailer probably wasn't quiet either, if Paul knew, unless the jailer was sitting right outside his door, which who knows? Could have been. He was guarding very well. He was asleep. He called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. What prisoners are going to sit there when they're free? So the prisoners around Paul and Silas now got set free because of what Paul and Silas, because of who they were praying and worshiping to. So maybe the prisoners didn't run away because they were like, huh, whatever the heck you just tapped into, I got to see more of this. Like, this thing, this whole jail just broke wide open because you were singing and praying, you and your brother over there. And I'm just going to stay right here because I don't know what's going to go on after this, right? I mean, I'm fascinated. Like when we were at Kansas City, some crazy things would happen during church service. And it made me not want to leave because it's like, ooh, what's going to happen next? Like, is there going to be a wheelchair that gets emptied? Like, who knows? There were crazy healings that were going on because the presence of the Lord, the prayer and worship was tapping into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This is the jailer. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So now the testimony that all of the people that were in bondage didn't flee because they wanted to stick around and see what the righteous men were tapping into, now saved the jailer that was supposed to be there, and his only duty was to make sure Paul and Silas didn't go anywhere. And now he's like, okay, all right, what? I don't know what you just did, but it's more than I can do. So how do I become saved? Now, verse 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So it's going to ripple down through the jailer's life also, because he's now set free and radically delivered because of the thing that he was a part of absently. He had no part in it. He wasn't worshiping. He wasn't praying. He was sleeping and a non-believer. But he was in the presence of believers that were praying and worshiping and tapping into the kingdom. So then he gets saved, and that thing works through his life then. So then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And the jailer took them, verse 33, it says, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Were they all jailers? Was it a family ordeal in there? I mean, how did they all just show up? It says in that hour. Oh, maybe towns were smaller back then. Well, did it though? If the jail was the only thing shook? I mean, wouldn't you think the jailer, like, he probably went outside and was like, what? It's only my jail that's broken? Right? I mean, it only talks about the jail being shaken, not the whole town. Because the place where they assembled. That's a really, how could you go to your manager with that? Listen, there was this earthquake that all the doors flew open, and the magistrate are like, Johnny, you have lost it. My house is next door. My wall is part of the wall of the prison, and my house is fine. And somehow, an earthquake shook the doors open. Yeah, and all the prisoners just happened to stay there. Like, this guy's probably thinking, what in the world? So he gets saved. Isn't that a crazy story, though? And it starts out with them being annoyed because Satan was nagging them. Have you ever gotten annoyed with struggles in your life? Gotten annoyed with demonic principalities that you could not kick? Yes. I've yelled at Satan a lot of times. Just that last time, Kaya, when Michelle and Kaya and Emma missed like two or three Sundays in a row, and I went and got Kaya, some of you were still here, and I brought her in. You should have seen me in that car on the way home. I was practically not even driving. I was fully kicking. Like, probably looked like I was having a tantrum while I was driving, but I was annoyed. Get your filthy hands off my family. And then it's like, all right, Lord, what did I do that might have done this because of what we read about the tables? I could have opened the door with who knows what. So it's a understanding thing. It's not always our fault. Sometimes Satan's just a lying, cheating rat, snake. We need Juanita. Juanita would be jumping and screaming, shut up, devil, I think. I still use that phrase all the time. So at midnight, they were worshiping and praying. And that's what I'm thinking today, is that at your midnight, get into worship and prayer. But are you going to know how to worship and pray at midnight if you're not worshiping and praying during the day? When life is easy and you don't have anything crushing you, you don't have anything pushing against you, you don't have struggles, you don't have coworkers that are hard or neighbors that are difficult or your car broke six times this week and it happens. Makes you mad. In Psalms 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And morning or nighttime? Continually. constantly, never ending. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. This is Psalms 34, 1 through 7 is what I'm reading. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5 says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were radiant. Have any of you been asked what's different about you? There's something weird about you. I said it to Jacob. We went to a concert on Thursday, and there was a guy standing in the front, and I said to him, I looked at Jacob, I was like, I bet that guy's a believer. It was a hardcore show. There's not many believers that go to those. We'll just be honest. Yeah, went for a Christian band, though. And just how he was carrying himself and the smile that was on his face, I bet he had some sort of history. Maybe he wasn't actively walking in it. But even the guys I work with, some of them are, I mean, they're rough around the edges. But I can still tell the ones that have some grandparent history in the church. There's still a foundation there that they don't know what it is. They think they're just being polite. And it's like, nah, you got some principles in there that aren't from this world. So it says that their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And that's a holy fear, not a like, yeah, not a bad fear. So Paul and Silas didn't run out of that prison because they understood that they were blessed, so the Lord wanted them to bless others. They were set free, so the Lord wanted them to set others free. They were delivered, which meant that other people needed the same deliverance. If God came through for you, he expects you to come through for someone else. The Titanic. 1,500 people died. There were enough lifeboats, but the people that got in the lifeboats wouldn't turn around to save the other people. They got their boats and they were like, we got ours, you get yours. One boat turned around. One boat said, hey, we still have room. We got delivered, let's go deliver them. We got our path to freedom, let's give a path to them. Be baptized. So they went back and saved them. So when the Lord does something for you, he wants you to give that thing to somebody else. And I've seen it in healing. Sergio told the story of us at the soup kitchen. Prayed for the guy with the messed up back. Well, the Lord definitely healed my back. The Lord healed my knees. So then I get to go because I then have an authority over those two infirmities. We had a girl that used to come here that had MS, that she prayed for every person with MS that she could because the Lord set her free of it. I'm so excited for the day that the diabetes is not in this body anymore, because diabetes is getting more popular. Popular? It's getting more prevalent. So then all about me, sitting in my prison, praying at midnight, worshiping at midnight. I'm not always happy. You can ask my family. I've come to them many a times. Why am I not healed? why has this not ended? I can't hold this weight anymore. And the family comes around and they pick it up. And they distribute the weight across all of them. And I go, hey, I can go on another day. Because I'm not carrying this weight by myself, and someday it'll be over. Maybe it's not on this earth, but there's a new Jerusalem coming that there's no more tears, no more sadness, no more pain. You better believe I'm ready for that. Because my Jesus is good enough. If it doesn't come through now, he's coming. And he will come through. You guys all know Nick and his infirmities. But there's going to be a day where you know Nick and his resurrected body that doesn't have the diabetes. I want it to happen before that, though. Because I'd love to share that testimony. I've gotten to share testimony of my diabetes with my doctors. Because they don't understand. I lived in Kansas City and never saw a specialist for 3 years. Went back to a specialist and my number was just in line where I had left. And they said, how are you doing that? Who's telling you what to do? How do you have your number so in control? How are you changing your pump? Well, it's not me. The Holy Spirit tells me so much to do with my diabetes. It's nuts. I would say, oh, it's just I had a feeling I should check my sugar. Or I could tell you I'm probably high right now, really, by how I feel. I didn't check my sugar yet, but the Holy Spirit helps me through those things. So I've had a testimony with the doctors, but I want that testimony to be increased so that when I encounter another diabetic, it's like, hey, let me show you about my Jesus that gave me a new pancreas, and he wants to give you one too. He wants to walk you through your infirmities, sicknesses, diseases, struggles, shortcomings, loss, pain, so that then when you encounter somebody in your life that's got all of this junk, you can say, hey, I got a Jesus that carried my weight, and he'll gladly carry yours. Oh, I'm a sinner. I don't have anything I can do, though. I'm not even worthy of that. Guess what? I'm not either. I wasn't worthy of it either, but Jesus still died. He died for all those sinners out there, even though they don't know it. James 5:13 says, is any among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. So in your shortcomings, you go before the Lord and you worship. Because you worshiped during the day, you can worship at midnight. When you're pressed down and struggling and short and don't know the words to say and you're getting accusation and Satan is just coming to just kill you. You press in. Because you pressed in when it was easy. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips would give praise to his name. Then we jump into that Psalms. I was amazed how many of the Psalms say to give praise to the Lord. So I've got just a few here. Psalms 35:28. And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praises all day long. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalms 104, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. We're going to worship Jesus forever. There's worship going on in the throne room right now. 24 elders casting their crowns down over and over and over. The four living creatures surrounded with eyes. Not a spot of their body doesn't have an eye, beholding the things of Jesus. But did you know that your worship in this life is a more pleasing fragrance to the Lord because we have options? When we have something else we can do, and we choose not to worship Jesus, it pulls on his heartstrings just a little harder. Because we're laying down our earthly sinful flesh and desires to really get into his kingdom. And a lot of times it doesn't feel like anything. Just being obedient. It's a costly sacrifice when we have options. Psalms 105:2, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Psalms 106, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Worship at midnight. When struggles are hard and people around you will be set free. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Praise the Lord. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more different you look. The more testimonies you have, the more things you have to say to the people that you work with. There's an anointing on things of the Lord. Because you can tell somebody something 1,000 times. But when it's anointed, it only has to be one time. And when you're passionate about something, when you've really sat at Jesus' feet, this is not condemnation either. Don't hear a spirit of condemnation. You all have sat at the feet of Jesus. We always can sit longer. There's always room for more. Nobody has arrived. Nobody is perfect. How many of you have seen Jesus provide when things seemed kind of short? Yeah? I know you guys have. I know Sergio has. Felix has talked about it. Phil and Andrea have talked about it. We've heard stories. He's a good God. Amen? I don't know where to go. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were praising the Lord in our
lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks different. It looks different to the people around you when life seems chaotic and you're normal. I mean, not relatively. Like, yes. We all still could tell, right? I mean, if you're with another believer, you can tell when it, hey, you good? Like, is life okay right now? And it's like, no. But to the world, it's like, how are you so, what? How are you like that? Because there's an anointing. That's when life struggles arise. Jesus is faithful. James 5:13, is any among you suffering? Any of you have some suffering going on right now? Do any of you want prayer right now in this moment because suffering is going on? Something is pressing. You don't have to say what it is. We're small enough right now. We could pray for each one of us. We're not a church of 5,000.
Discernment is super important. It's discerning for this moment. Do you ask for prayer? Do you allow people to pray for you? Do you let people into your current circumstance and allow them to pray for you? Or are we just not? Nick brought a good word. And I'm so grateful that those of you who shared it added to that word. Discernment comes from both ends. The man of God who stands before you and is looking for what God would have to do next. And then for each of us, what must I do next as well? Thank you.
Anybody want prayer for anything? You could stand up right where you're at if you want it. It might be a little uncomfortable. It's a little strange.
Well, I would say this about that. The Lord spoke to me yesterday, maybe it was the day before or whatever, about prayer. And God has now pressed that into the next level. We were with some pastors last Friday night, a week ago, Friday night, and one of my best pastor friends I've spent a lot of time in prayer with said that he prays for, am I not loud enough? Oh, I'm still streaming. Yeah, sorry. He said that when he and his wife were young, they had a baby, and it lived 5 hours, and it died. My heart went out to him, but then he said, beyond that, he went to the nurse, said, give me my baby. I believe God can resurrect my baby. And I'm going to pray for the baby. The baby was blue. They buried the baby. He's prayed for 13 dead people. He's 0 for 13. But this I know, if he continues, which he will, someday that number will be 1. He will pray as God leads. And like Nick said, when the anointing hits, someone is coming back to life. God told me this oil is from Israel. And I don't know why. I mean, that's just the way it is with life in the Spirit. I don't know why God said, bring the oil. We've got a divine shift we're in right now. As I started the service this morning, Thursday night has become eruptive. We've got addicts coming by the droves, and they're expecting. They understand there's a divine shift. They also know that if they stay on the road they're on, they're going to die. And they're asking questions like you wouldn't believe. They want to know. And this shift that's happening in healing, the shift that's happening in freedom, the message that the Lord gave Nick out of Acts is the Kairos moment. We are in. Are you going to participate? Nick found that if he'd pray for someone else, God had touched him. He also knew that if he'd been touched and released that, that's what we got to be, church. Right now, Lord, I pray for Clinton Brissett. The young man has been faithful. The border is closed. How ridiculous. And I pray for Clinton right now, Lord, that you would set him free forever, that his mind would be healed, that his body would follow. I thank you, Lord, that I've connected with him for the last year, every morning. He's online on YouVersion. And we're talking, we're praying, we're connected. We have fellowship. Because of the Holy Spirit, there is no border. What do you carry this morning? Come on, church. Here comes a voice.
I'm not going to talk. Well, the oil is ironically here because I said that last night. I said, we got to pray for my parents' house. We got to consecrate it, and we got to give it to the Lord, and I need some oil. I said, we got to go get Dad. I told Carrie that last night. We got to go get Dad because we got to pray for this house that my parents were given, and we got to give it to the Lord, and we got to consecrate it and give it to him because it was a promise. So I want all of us now to pray for them in their house. And if you guys can just stand right here. And Ollie, if you want to stand next to them. They got a house, and they've been waiting months to get this house, and they finally got it, and we all kicked into full gear as a family and prepare this house for them. But I didn't want them to move in yet until we pray for this house, until we gave it to the Lord and said, as for me and my house, this family will serve you and has been set apart for your glory. So I want to stand next to them, and you guys can pray for us.
We're going to keep the live stream going. Prayer is good, and just because you're at home doesn't mean you don't get to be a part of this. So Lord, we thank you for this whole Gonzalez family. We thank you that you have called them and you have anointed them. I thank you that just as Paul and Silas had breakthrough because of the thing they have encountered, I thank you that Sergio's encounter is bringing breakthrough for the whole family. And Lord, as his parents establish roots here in Port Huron, we dedicate the house to you, Jesus, that it would be a house for you. That as for Salvador and his family, they would serve the Lord. Lord, I ask that you would put some guardian angels around that house. That you would guard and protect them. That you would lead and guide them. I thank you that you connected ends that looked like they wouldn't come together. I thank you that you have spared their lives over and over and over. Lord, I ask that you would pour out a new thing on them. A fresh wind, a fresh anointing, a new captivation. Yes, Jesus, restore and revive.
You make all things new. So God, we ask that as the Gonzalez family walks into this new home and this new season, that you would make all things new, Lord, that you would let this be a foundation that is unshakable. Lord, we ask that this would be a house of prayer and a house of worship, Lord, that the doors of this home would open to many, Lord, that this would be a ministry unto you, Lord. Father, I pray for Zoila and Salvador. God, I ask that you give them wisdom, that you'd give them favor, that you'd give them grace, that as they establish this house unto you, Lord, that you would bless them richly, Lord, that there would be testimonies of your goodness, that there'd be healing that would go forth from this home, Lord, that there'd be evangelism that would go forth. And Father, for the girls, I ask that you give them peace that passes understanding as they walk into this new home. And Lord, we thank you that you paved the way, Lord, that you've made a path in the wilderness, that you've opened doors that no man can open, and that you've closed doors that no man can close. And Father, we thank you even now for what's to come, and we just say you are worthy, that all things are from you, that all things are to you. So, Lord, we dedicate this house to you. We say, have your way here. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and his plans to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, I thank you that you set a hedge about them. And, Lord, we just walk in your ways, in your footsteps, Lord. I ask that you'd pave the way before them, that you'd make it plain. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. Anybody else want to come up to the hot seat? Because I'm hot. I'm sure he's hot. They're probably hot. I know Sergio's hot. Anybody else want to get hot? Come on, Mary. Would you all stand this morning? That is, we go to war. Lord, I ask that you would come. That you would bring a new pancreas for Mary today. Your lamb and the word of your testimony, Jesus. That you would complete this thing that has been in transit for years. Lord, we come against the principalities and powers that are hindering the healing. And we speak life.
Yes.
Completion, Jesus. That there would be no more struggles, just like the things you've done for Mary in the past. I ask that you would release a testimony now. Of a thing that seems impossible to our earthly realm. Thank you, Jesus.
So, I think I said it to a lady Friday night. We've been contending and believing for years that the prayers of the righteous would go up, that there is a bowl of incense before the Lord. And he's faithful. What we're learning, church, in this time that we're in now, 2020, 2021, possibly 22, on, is that his timing is perfect. And I have to settle into the place that the Lord has. And so do you. That we've got to move when he says move. We've got to be in that place of obedience wherever he's placed us. We don't know. And so the demonstration of the Spirit this morning is that shift that I spoke of, that I felt moved by the Lord this week to say, there's a a chronos and there's a kairos. And we're in a kairos. We've been working on the chronos now for some period of time. And all I would say in closing is allow the Holy Spirit to speak. The people that have rejected you may no longer reject you. And the ones that have been favorable toward you may turn. That's the season that we're in. And so we've got to be ready. We've got to move when God says move.
Jacob, will you come? I'm going to challenge the rest of you family. Come up here, because you can't bear a weight from a distance. So let's surround her. She said Jacob's the only family she's got, but we're all family in this place, so we're going to carry this weight. Remind me of Dad's name again. Ed.
Well, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we've
yes.
got a Gonzalez gang.
Yes.
It's a testimony of Jesus. That's the spirit
There was
of
one
prophecy.
Saved. You can go in front of them, too. You don't have to necessarily be behind. Fully surround. Whew. Lord, we ask right now that as Katie has brought this before your throne, Lord, we ask for Ed, that the man of this household, that you would break down the manly manness that is, I have to be tough and silent. I don't need Jesus, that I don't need anything else. Lord, we ask that the freedom that Katie is walking in, the freedom that she has seen at midnight, that you would take it just as the jailer took it to his family and everybody got set free. Lord, we ask for speedily that you would release a testimony in Katie's whole family, that the towers that have been built that Satan has taken rule and reign over, that you would rapidly tear them down, Jesus, that there would be quick conversion even right now. Lord, we pick up this weight with Katie and we distribute it, and we come with multiple voices before your throne, Jesus. You said where two or more are gathered, that it'll be done, that you will be there, Jesus. So we speak life into this family. We speak life and freedom rapidly, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
I come against the demonic attack on Jasmine's hands, that you would bring a steadiness back to her hands, that the things that the enemy meant for evil, Lord, you would turn into good, that you would release a testimony this morning, that there would be a supernatural stillness from this day forward. I say, Satan, you got no right over Jasmine's life. You got no right on her hands. Shut up, devil. Stillness. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Song of praise. Paul and Silas were praying and singing. So we just prayed, and now we're going to sing on the way out. If you still need more, ask anybody in here. Online family, healing and freedom in Jesus' name. Go with peace.